I want to speak this evening upon a subject that I have entitled The Reformation Bombshell, Luther's 95 Theses. On the night of the 30th of October, 450 years ago, the Duke Elector of Saxony had a very strange dream. I don't know whether you dream or not. They say if you eat cheese for your supper, that's the sure way to dream. But according to the Bible, there are dreams that are prophecies. And this dream was most certainly a prophecy. The elector, who as best as he could in the darkness of those Roman times, was a sincere and religious man. And he remembered in his dream that All Saints' Day would be falling on the 1st of November. And he said that in my dream I prayed, and I prayed that God would send a messenger with God's message to the German people. And as he prayed this prayer, a monk appeared with a pen in his hand. And the monk said to him, "Can I write something on the church door in your capital at Wittenberg?" And the Duke said, "Yes, you can write something on my church door." And he said this monk went up to the church door and he started writing on the church door. And he said as he wrote, his pen grew and grew and grew until it reached to Rome. And he said at Rome there was a great lion. And he said that pen went through the lion's ear. And my, what a roar the lion made as the pen went through its ear. And then he said in his dream, he saw the pen go right to the Pope's tiara, his crown. And it knocked the crown off the Pope's head. And he said the Pope called for the cardinals. He called for the canons, he called for the monks, he called for the nuns to put the crown on his head and to break the pen. And as they were trying to break the pen, out of the pen came hundreds of other pens. And they started to attack the Pope as well. And he awoke, and behold, it was a dream. That was on the night of the 30th of October, 450 years ago. The following morning, he told his dream to his brother. And his brother said, "I'd like to know the interpretation of that dream. Would to God we had a Joseph to tell us what the dream meant." But that very morning, that dream had its interpretation. It was the day when the crowds gathered in Wittenberg for the festival of the Eve of All Saints, the 31st of October. And through that crowd, a monk was seen pushing his way towards the church door. He had in his hand a parchment, and in his other hand a hammer, and in his pouch some nails. And when he came to the church door, he spread out the parchment, and with deliberate blows, he nailed the nails in each corner of the parchment. And then he stood back and viewed his handiwork. The monk was Luther. The parchment was known as Luther's 95 theses, or propositions against the Pope's indulgences. What were the Pope's indulgences? Well, Leo, the then Pope of Rome, was building St. Peter's. That's the place where old Cardinal Ramsay and Papa kissed one another. And he was building St. Peter's. And money was scarce. And so he decided that the best way to get money was to sell pardons, indulgences. A papal indulgence professes to remit the guilt of sins committed. That is, if you get an indulgence, then you'll not be in purgatory so long. And there are so many indulgences which Rome still has to shorten your stay in purgatory. So he decided that he would sell a great indulgence to Europe. This is what he said. He said, "Mine hand hath found as a nest the riches of the nations, and as one gathereth eggs, so have I gathered all of the earth." And he saw that the people were prepared to buy these indulgences. So he commissioned monks to go through the various places in Germany and Europe to sell indulgences. And he got John Tetzel, a Dominican friar, to be the pardon seller to Germany. Tetzel arrived with great pomp and with a great blowing of trumpets. Here's an extract from one of his sermons. "Indulgences are the most precious and the most noble of God's gifts. Come and I will give you letters, all properly sealed, by which even the sins which you intend to commit may be pardoned. Before you commit them, the Pope will pardon you." So it was a license for sin and to sin. He says, "I would not change my privileges for those of St. Peter in heaven. But I have saved more souls by my indulgences than the apostle did by all his sermons." This was the preacher selling his indulgence. And of course, you could buy a pardon for anything. He sold a pardon for polygamy for about £4.10 in our present money. So that would get the Mormons out all right. And he sold the power to kill your father or your mother for about £3.10. He sold the power to murder for about 8 pounds. So he had all the sins. What sin do you want to commit? I don't like my mother-in-law. I'd like to do away with it. All right, that's 8 quid. Yeah. I better not say anything. I was going to make a comment there, but I better not. So he sold indulgences, pardons for sin. And of course, the ignorant, benighted, superstition, priest-trodden people, they wanted value for their money. And where Tetzel went, he left behind him a raging torrent of the most damnable iniquity. And Luther watched his progress through Germany, and he saw that everywhere this seller of pardons had come, there was nothing but filth and wickedness and unrighteousness and crime and iniquity. Luther's soul was stirred because he himself had entered into the truth of justification by faith alone. And so he decided that something must be done. And then it occurred to him that the best thing he could do was to write 95 reasons why indulgences are useless. And so he sat down and he took his pen and he put on writing 95 reasons why indulgences cannot do anything to take away your sins. Let me read you some of these theses. Here's the 37th one. Every true Christian, dead or living, is a partaker of all the blessings of Christ or of the church by the gift of God, and without any letter of indulgence. We should teach Christians that the Pope would distribute his own money to the poor. This is a good one. Whom indulgence sellers are now stripping of their last farthing, even were he compelled to sell the mother church of St. Peter. Old Luther said, let the Pope sell all his riches and give to the poor. Let him sell them all. To hope to be saved by indulgences is a lying and an empty hope. The papal pardons cannot remit even the least of venial sins as regards the guilt. Those who fancy themselves sure of salvation by indulgences will go to perdition along with those that teach them so. So these were clear statements of the gospel. And when Luther nailed that thesis upon the church door in Wittenberg, he ignited a bomb. And the repercussions of the bursting of that bombshell, thank God, are still with us tonight. And Europe still feels the echo of the bombshell ignited by Luther on that day. Three things the indulgences did. First of all, they struck at the iniquitous plan of the papacy. Old Leo thought he would build his great pagan temple on the money of the people, unable to find money any other way. He devised this plan, a wholesale sale of indulgences. And Luther put a stop to his plan. And you know, when you put a stop to the plan of popery, something happens, friend. You bring about your ears all the powers of darkness. And there was Luther standing alone. His only weapon was his pen. But praise God, the pen is mightier than the sword when it's wielded by the power of the Holy Ghost. He struck at the iniquitous plan of the papacy. And Leo soon realized that the money wasn't coming down over the Alps from Germany. There was a stop, and of course he was infuriated. The second thing that Luther did, he struck at the person of the Pope. You see, in those days, the Pope was a dreaded person. Kings would go barefoot before him. He rode upon his horse while the kings walked alongside as a servant. And here is a monk, an insignificant, unknown, ignorant monk, they called him, and he dares to attack me! No wonder his crown fell off his empty head. No wonder he felt the blow that was struck that day. And I want to tell you, friend, that if you want to rile up the Roman Catholic system, you attack the Pope. My, when you tell them the Pope's the Roman Antichrist and the man of sin, that brings them to their feet, all right. My, when you denounce the papacy, imagine what Luther said. Luther said he's only an old crow crowing on his dunghill. That was some language, wasn't it? My, if Ian Paisley said that, they would hold up their hands. They would say he's an extremist. Praise God for good, godly extremism that exposes popery the way it ought to be exposed. Luther. My, you want to read Luther, friend, if you want a bit of fire in your soul. There was nothing complimentary on the lips of Luther about the papacy. He saw its darkness. He saw its deceit. And he laid his sword and struck at the person of the Pope. And it wasn't very long after he wrote his thesis that he wrote again and said, I see the Pope is the veritable Antichrist. He struck at the person of the Pope, the plan of the Pope, and then he struck at the pardon of the Pope. He showed that the Pope's pardon was useless. It was a lie. It was a bit of hypocrisy. There was nothing real. There was nothing lasting about it. And he said to his people, you have papal pardons in your pocket, but with these pardons in your pocket, you'll still go to hell if you don't repent and trust in the blood of Jesus. And my, I want to tell you, friend, when you strike at the system of papal pardons, when you tell man salvation's not in the church, not in baptism, not in the mass, not in the dogmas of the church and the ritual of the church and the system of the church, that salvation is in Christ alone, it's then you'll face all the opposition of the papists, and you'll face all the opposition of the apists as well. The people that are aping popery. So he struck a threefold blow. And what a bombshell it was. Isn't it lovely tonight to turn to the Word of God and read those blessed words? Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And ye that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Listen. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's not sermon notes that are dropping out, so you needn't worry about them. Yes. Without money and without price. There's three things in that text. First of all, friend, we have a pertinent invitation here. Three words inviting man. Ho! Everyone, come! That word ho strikes the note of concern for sinners. My, that gospel preacher is to go out into the highways and the byways. Praise God, we were down in Lisbalaw today. They said there would never be a free Presbyterian church in the county for Manna. My, we're one of the best churches of our whole group of churches there. We had nearly 300 people packed into that place today. We had two people gloriously saved as the gospel was preached. My, I want to tell you, we have to echo the whole of concern. Sinners, stop on the highway to ruin. Ho! Take your time, friend. Call out to your pace. God has a message for you. And then I want you to notice when it says everyone. That includes everybody. Everyone. That's a lovely little word, isn't it? Everyone. I had a letter from a dear person anonymously. And they come to this meeting, maybe they're in the meeting tonight, and they say they cannot find Christ. They have sinned too much. They have gone astray too much. Friend, here's a wee word of encouragement to you. It's everyone! Everyone! You can come tonight! Oh, everyone! That's the circle of the invitation. It takes us all in! Everyone in the meeting. It's for you, and listen. Oh, everyone, come! There's the character of the invitation. You have to come! I like that word, come. Isn't that what God said to Noah? Come thou into the ark. God didn't say go into the ark. God was already in the ark. And God said, come! Thou into the ark. Why did the ark float? Because God was in it. That's why it floated. I want to tell you that God's inviting you to come to himself. I'm glad I'm not inviting you to come to a confessional box or a holy water strip. I'm not inviting you to come to join Protestantism. I'm inviting men to Jesus. What a glorious invitation. My, here we have this pertinent invitation. The concern of it, ho. The circle of it, everyone. And the glorious character of it, come. Secondly, you have a particular classification here. Two types of people here. The thirsty. Who are they? They're the people that know that they need something. My, when you're thirsty, friend, you know that you need a drink of water. When I was out in Phoenix, Arizona, the pastor there, Dr. Hickok, had a four-wheel driven truck. He says, I'll take you away out into the mountains of Arizona, away to the desert. And he took Eric Johnson and me away out, and we got stuck in the mountains. And my, it was mighty warm. We had our coats off and we were stripped and we were gathering stones and trying to make a way to get the old truck out. And you know, our tongues were hanging out. We were really thirsty. I never was as glad to see water after that trip of 3 or 4 hours as I was in all my days. I knew I was thirsty. And we all knew that we were thirsty. Yeah. And a man that knows he's a sinner. There's hope for him. That's all he needs to know. If he thinks that he's all right, there's no hope for him. But the invitation is to the thirsty. That's the first thing. And then it's to the people that have no money. This is a Protestant text, friend. Romanism is the never, never system of religion. It's paying all the time. keep on paying. And the old priest standing there with his two hands out, and you've got to pay. Even the tax officer leaves you alone after you die. He just takes one payment and then you're quit. But the old priest on your track forever, and he's still asking for money after you're gone. You've heard this story of Mary. She got a bit tired paying for Paddy. So she says, "Father, is he out yet?" He says, "He's got everything out but one of his legs." She says, "Well, I know Paddy well, and if he's got all out but one leg, he'll sure get the other leg out. You're getting no more money of me." She was right, friend. Oh, pay! 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 The gospel's without money and without price. You can't pay, friend. You have nothing to pay with. You're a bankrupt, lost, hell-deserving sinner. Jesus paid it all. Come tonight. It's free. It's for the whosoever will. Take it, friend. There's the particular classification. It's for the thirsty and for the people without money. And then last of all in the text, there's a peculiar participation. You know what it says? "Come ye, buy and eat," but you have no money to buy with. But the Lord has paid for it. "Come ye, buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price." Three things: water, wine, and milk. You know those three things stand for three precious things. The water, what does that stand for? That water stands for the Word of God. It's a living water. And there's a great river flowing, praise God, the water of the Word for cleansing. What does it lead us to? It leads us to the blood. The symbol of blood in the Bible is the wine. So we have the Word of Christ. We have the blood of Christ. And then there's the milk. What's that? That's the sweet comfort of Christ. And praise God, there's three things that I need. I need waters for my thirst. I need blood to cleanse my heart. I need milk to make me strong in the battle of the Lord. And you can get them all without money and without price. Away with the Pope's indulgence. Away with papal pardons. Away with priestcraft. Away with all the baubles and foolishness and fables of Romanism. Give me Jesus, Jesus only. I possess a cluster rare. He's the fairest of 10,000. I'm the rose of Sharon Fair. God grant that you'll trust Christ tonight and you'll go away saying, "Praise God for old Luther." Man, I was glad when I read about that old Duke's dream. Yes, he dreamed. And all he dreamt came true. And praise God, there's a pen in the Ulster Hall tonight. And it's still in the ear of popery. God help me to drive it through the Pope's eardrum. And to really stir him up for Jesus' sake. God help us to stand. We have a great heritage. We have a great gospel. We have a great Savior. We have a great Bible. And praise God, we have a great future. May God help us to stand up for Jesus, for Christ's sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence this evening. We bless thee for your word. It stirred our hearts. Lord, may sinners come. May backsliders come. May God's people get fire in their soul. And Lord, may this be a day of rejoicing and a day of salvation. I'm not making any appeal this evening. I feel I oughtn't to. I'm leaving the message with you. If there's a man or woman wants wine and milk without money and without price, I'll be up in the room at the back of the platform. Come and see me. I'll be glad to open the book and kneel with you and lead you to Jesus. But friend, you don't need to come to that room to see Ian Paisley. You can meet Jesus in your seat. Amen. Call upon him now. Say, Lord, save me. And praise God, he'll save you for all eternity. May God bless his word. Dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing. Bless us in that other meeting tonight. Use us to your glory for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.